Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined with my fabulous co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio today. Today, we're going to be talking about something, Michelle, that naturally makes me want to do this. Every time I kept thinking about how I wanted to communicate this topic, I just kept feeling like this. Because it's such a loaded, loaded topic, and it's one that we both care deeply about. So today the topic is church and family life. And I feel like so many of us are running this race in different seasons, me with younger kids and you with four adult children now. So I can't wait to hear so much of your wisdom on the other side. But you know, when I think about this practically, there is a measure of pressure that all of us instantly respond to when we think about this topic, in all honesty.
Sure.
There are pressures that function more as a conviction, as we feel as parents, or even sometimes a fear that we may feel as parents. We feel a sense of self-consciousness as we're made aware that people are watching our families.
Oh, yeah.
And watching us as we relate to them. And we feel a sense of uncertainty while we invest in our families, hoping that our example and the importance we place on church attendance and church participation will successfully communicate the message, these things are essential to your life in Christ.
Okay.
But I have to say that in a devotional I was reading this week called Grit and Grace, I would recommend it to any mom. It's called Grit and Grace Devotions for Warrior Moms. I was meditating on a statement throughout the week that I have not been able to get out of my mind. And I think it's something that God really wants me to continue meditating on in my heart. So the statement is, one of the authors, this is co-authored by two ladies. And one of the statements that she said was, I can only mother out of my own specific design. Strengths and weaknesses included. At times, my children will suffer because of my weaknesses, and I should always be seeking the Lord to refine me. But on the flip side, my children will be served by my strengths, my ability to really listen to them, my capacity to nurture their emotions and talk to them about God.
That is so loaded.
I love it because it really shows you the balance of an imperfect person trying to keep fellowshipping with this godly standard or this godly character. And there are going to be some huge bumps and some huge disappointments that we feel in ourself along the way. But it's worse when we have an audience, you know, we're trying to be this example of, hey, this is how you should be living your life. But then when the door closes at home, you know, we can take advantage of that all too well and say, listen, we know the deal. When you get inside the house, you better X, Y, Z, and then you better have your shoes on when it's time to go to church. And you dare not mention what happened in this home when you get to church. My. But, you know, our families need to see that even imperfect mom, imperfect dad, we are still reaching for God through every trial. And we need to be humble enough to acknowledge the fact that we need God. We need God every day. And that's the glue for this family, no matter what.
That is awesome. I have to tell you, of course, I went online and researched this topic. And families who engage in religious activities have greater satisfaction in all of their relationships and higher level of trust. They're more productive. They have a healthier way of resolving problems. And children who attend church get higher grades in school.
Okay.
People who regularly go to church have strong support networks and even experience less depression.
Okay.
They smoke less. They lead healthier and longer lives. In a very real and a physical way, church is good for your health.
Wow. I love that because it's like this element of overall health that I don't think we always realize that we are trying to implant in the minds of our children and trying to have as a witness to our spouse. There's nothing wrong with saying we need the church. I can't provide this for you. I've heard Pastor Shibeli, our missions pastor, say a number of times, I can't offer my wife what she needs to get from the church.
Oh, that's a good.
I can't.
Very good statement.
I can't give her body life. And I never forgot that because it really reminds us that the church should have a strong standing place in our lives.
Excellent. Now, God created three structures to advance the kingdom and support society. It's the church, the government, and the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. And of course, family was created first.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it? because the two of them were in fellowship with God.
Oh, okay, I see.
So, you know, here they are. Yes, Adam and Eve are together as a family, but they're with God.
Mm-hmm.
Family is the center of God's plan.
Amen.
And, you know, he said to them, go, be fruitful and multiply. So, woohoo, we've got kids. And the Bible itself gives us many examples of strong families.
Yes.
I was thinking about Jacob today. What a mess his family was. What a mess. But you know what? We're still talking about them.
Yep.
The 12 children, the 13, sorry, 12 sons and one daughter that the scripture tells us he has. And I think in Revelation, their names are going to be on the foundation of the city. So shut up.
Okay. I love that. You know, I mean, I love that picture of Jacob because that is so much the kind of pressure that we put on ourselves as mothers, especially Michelle. We're trying so hard to get it right. Mm-hmm. And we can just be so fearful about the fact that because you truly saw how human I am, I have ruined your relationship with God forever. You think I'm this big hypocrite. You know, I have my Bible in my hand, but I just made a huge mistake. And I love so many illustrations that the Bible is clear about. God uses imperfect people because the dependency is not on the person. God still prevails. God is still seen, even if it is a very imperfect, bumpy situation. That does not mean God is automatically just dismissed. You know, he can handle so much of what we're doing, so much of what we're facing. And that's a great message to continue passing on to our children. Hey, listen, you're going to follow God very imperfectly, but what matters is that you're still following God.
I love that. Well, just one little disclaimer, like any good thing, when family becomes the main thing, it can cause more harm than good.
Yeah.
I love cheesecake, and I really wouldn't mind having it for breakfast.
Oh.
But day after day after day after
Probably not, yeah.
You know? When we take a good thing and make it into the ultimate thing, it becomes a broken thing.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture's quite clear that In the end, the nuclear family is only a temporary entity. Mm-hmm. We're not even going to be with our husbands in heaven.
I know it.
I know, but God's plan is perfect, so we're going to trust him for that. As long as I can see my husband every once in a while.
I told Justin I'm going to find a little corner and wave at him every time I can and be like, I remember you. I remember our time together.
Oh, I told Ron I've got to have a hammock in his backyard of his palace so that I can stay over sometimes.
We'll have morning
tea together. But the whole thing of having children and raising them is to get rid of, no, I'm sorry, to make, not get rid of them, to
Michelle, where is your heart right now?
I know,
Michelle.
So bad. Could we stop this and rewind this?
No, it just elevates that contrast, the contrast we feel as we're raising them.
In my late 60s and we still have a child at home. So tell me how much I want to push my kids away from me. And I will. We raise children with the goal of releasing them as adults.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now, this was amazing. I asked my son, Jason, has church benefited him?
Wow.
And he sat down and immediately gave me 11 points.
Wow.
11. Yep.
Wow.
And the first thing he said was unity. He works in a warehouse, and at any time, 200 people at a time are in this warehouse. I would have him here at this broadcast if he wasn't working. But he said he's seen at his job there are 200 individuals. They're all doing the same thing, but they're all doing it for their own benefit.
Wow.
Even if that benefit is only to get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
He said at church, you can have 200 people. They're all body members. They're all doing different things, but they're all united for the same purpose.
Wow. I really love that, you know, because it reminds me of 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul is talking about how the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. We do have our differences, but the purpose in having these talents and these gifts is to help each other. And isn't that ironic that we can be in a room full of so many people? And yes, we are working towards the same kinds of goals for the purpose of that job or the purpose of that project. But when you really look behind the scenes at each of us, man, our lives are so different. What's going on internally with us is so different. I went through the same experience when I was in theater, you know, and they try to form this camaraderie per cast. You know, let's go out there, do this amazing show. Let's come together throughout the cast. And I've actually heard a director say that he got in trouble when he was acting because what he wouldn't do with the cast was causing a division. Like mm-hmm. he was actually spoken to and he said, you're ruining the unity of this cast because you won't drink with us or you won't go out with us, you know? So what does unity mean according to perspective? I love Jason's perspective, you know, like God is here uniting all of our differences. Mm-hmm. And I think honestly, that's how a lot of multicultural churches can function, as well as the fact that we all have very different personalities. When it comes down to the fact that we're all worshiping Christ, that's how we're able to go beyond all those things that are not as important, you know?
Awesome. His second point was community. He mentioned that we know people and have been to our home and they are friends from Ghana, Azerbaijan, Ireland, Canada. And as a result of meeting these missionaries or visitors from our church, my kids aren't afraid to meet new people. In the beginning, we had to practice. Okay, make eye contact.
Look up.
You know, no, try this little bit of food. Yep, try it. Just put one little bit. Mm-hmm. And for that exercising and that helping your children to grow, now my kids love meeting new people. Yeah. They will try anything.
Aww.
My son was in Poland one time, one of my sons, and I don't know what he ate, but it was disgusting.
Oh no. Well, you know what? I think it's great when you create an atmosphere where you're welcoming different things. That's very important. And it's amazing how that principle alone, it welcomes so much of godly thinking. Because if you think about the pattern of our culture, usually if you have a difference, the question is, do I agree with your difference? And whether or not I agree with it determines whether or not I will respect it. But in Christ, which is something I'm very much talking to my kids about now. They're 7, 4, and 2, but my son is so inquisitive and so is my daughter at 4. And I keep making sure that they understand it's good for us to keep interacting with our church family. It's good to be there for them, learn from them, help them how we can. This is our other family and we have to be there for them and not say, what should we focus on that makes us not the same? We have to focus on what makes us the same. It's our love of Christ.
It's excellent. Number 3, Jason said, and this surprised me, he said, I find at church a healthy emotional atmosphere. He said, people at church don't drain me.
Wow.
He said, our church, the people he knows are not critical of themselves or others. Mm-hmm. And he notices inclusivity and openness.
Yes.
I was frankly surprised.
Yeah.
That at 25, he discerned that.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Because, you know, when we have this normalcy in our thinking patterns, when something feels like it's missing if we're not interacting with the church, I think that's actually a good thing. You know, I think it's great when our kids say, wait a minute, why aren't we going to church this Sunday? Well, you know, we don't normally miss church, but because of this emergency going on with our family, it's okay. You know, and I think that that presents God in a way that's not in this dictatorship, which is sometimes how our children can determine or decipher who he is while we're still learning how to communicate, you know, the difference in his character and his standards, you know. So I love that. I love that. That's wonderful, you know, that we're just ongoingly welcome and that we're allowing our kids to see, hey, you should question it if the interaction with God and the normal ways you have it aren't there.
Very good. I think later on this week, they're going to talk about a healthy church. And I myself look forward to hearing that.
Yeah.
Jason also expressed his appreciation for sound teaching. With all our kids, we started exposing them to the preaching of great men, starting with Pastor Schiavelli's Friday night summer class when they were only 12 years old.
Wow.
And yes, I bribed them.
Oh.
And I don't care whether they wanted to be money. I gave them money. If they wanted snacks, they got snacks. I don't care. Just that first summer.
Okay.
I did that,
okay.
You know, like come to class because mommy's going to buy you an ice cream afterwards. Come to class. Mommy will give you $5.
You know, you do what you got to do sometimes.
And then they all fell in love with it.
Aww.
And all 4 of my boys have been at Maryland Bible College and Seminary for 4 years. All
wow.
4 of them.
You know, I think that that speaks also to the fact that, Michelle, that sometimes we can underestimate our kids and we can say, well, because of this age, I have to adjust my expectations. You know, maybe there will be a couple things you receive from this, maybe, but they are gleaning. The word of God does not come back void, Amen. Right? And so much was implanted just because you chose to expose them. I mean, they went for the ice cream cone, but they learned more about God by the end of the class, and an interest was sparked.
Yes.
Great job, Mom.
Thank
you're
you.
Great. You're doing awesome.
Well, phew, not because of me, in spite of me.
Yeah.
The next thing he mentioned was friendship and fellowship.
Mm.
And he discerns the difference. You know, he comes to young adults with Francois and Philippe Siragi. He loves that.
Mm.
And he loves drawing new people into that.
Okay.
Young adults. Oh, come with me to this. And he'll often use that with coworkers.
Okay.
Oh, you don't want to come to church? No problem. Why don't you come for free coffee?
Wow.
At the young adults meeting between services.
Wow. That's great, you know, because there are different avenues that we go through as we are coming closer to God. You know, a lot of us can feel like he's very unapproachable, especially if we never go to church or we have this conglomerate of what people have said and what we fear God is. And I love that Jason just has it in his heart to always be the one who can create this invitation and be a friend to them when they come. You know, I could see him looking out for them, sitting together, making sure they got that cup of coffee and just making them feel welcome, making them feel like they're valued because they actually came and gave it a try. You know, and that's what we're doing as parents. We're saying, hey, I gave this a try and it changed my life. And I want to keep sharing with you why, as you're seeing how I'm worshiping in my life.
Awesome. He mentioned the activities our church provides. Mm. All my kids have played basketball, soccer, been on mission trips, been to camp life. My kids have gone to Thailand, Costa Rica, Canada, Japan, and Hungary without me or my husband.
Wow.
Pastor Love, I just swear, and now with Pete Wistera, these men are, I will disrespect them and call them geniuses.
Oh, no, I think that's...
But I will call them spiritual geniuses.
They create
these opportunities
for
summer harvest where your kids can get away from you, and they need that, but they're still in this protected environment.
Yeah, and you know,
with a pastor.
That emanates from so much love that they have to invest in the next generations to come. That is not something that you can fake. That's not something that you can grind up in yourself. I love how many people, when I hear these testimonies, say, I went over to Pastor Pete's house, or, you know, even at a school I used to work at, I asked Pastor Love if he would come and talk to all of these children that have been kicked out of the public school system, and everybody has deemed them hopeless. Mm. And I loved watching the attentiveness on all of their faces, because he was there saying, hey, listen, God loves you. There is still a plan for you. Let who you are and your identity be defined through your relationship with God. You can have one too. And I came here all the way from Baltimore. I stopped everything in my schedule to make sure that you knew that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Jason also mentioned the church has taught him how to serve.
Mm.
All my kids have to work in the nursery on Wednesday nights, starting at that, for me, critical grade 6.
They have to?
Oh, they have to.
Oh,
it's not an option.
Okay.
And they're thrilled to, because that means they don't have to sit in church with me.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, sometimes you dangle something over your child that feeds into what they naturally, they don't want to sit in church.
Sure.
And so they're doing nursery. They had to do it from grade 6 through 12.
Wow.
Yeah, no questions asked. And they love it.
Well, okay, now I have a question about that, because those ages you just said, I think those are kind of battleground zones for a lot of moms. And I wonder, what is that balance that you have between saying, hey, listen, this is part of life versus this is also in obedience to God, so we're going to do it? Because I feel like as they're coming to in their identities, there can be more of a, I don't want to say always a talking back kind of a situation, but definitely a dismissal of what mom wants, or trying to negotiate, you know, and you're trying to keep it focused on, hey, listen, we are focused on serving our church body. So how do you deal with those maybe differences in attitudes, and have the perspective be, we're doing this because this honors God, and that is something that we honor as a family?
You know, people have asked me about my four boys are all so different.
Mm.
And it's even more obvious now as they're older. I never got one kickback.
Wow.
About this. Never once. I explained to them,
okay,
this is Team Benoit.
Mm.
This is what we do. Do you want to sit in service next to mommy with her eye on you every minute? Or do you want to go and be in the nursery with Miss Sue or Miss Marcia? Mm. And they all definitely picked going to the nursery. And then they fell in love with it. Jason is 25 years old. He no longer has to do it. He's still helping Marcia on Wednesday nights.
Because I see him.
He loves it.
Yeah. He's always smiling and just being with everybody. And I see it, you know, I see that there isn't force behind that, you know, and perhaps sometimes because, you know, as the parent, we have the wisdom and the discernment that this is something that can really become even more fruitful later. But I do think that offering certain things is definitely so much wisdom as a mom, Michelle, because some people just say, well, okay, let's get through service. And I wonder, is anybody really gaining from that? Because I think sometimes that creates situations where when kids are on their own, they say, oh, I finally don't ever have to do this again, because all they associated it with was threat and force and law, you know? So I love that you invited your kids to serve the church in a way where they could gain more exposure, help families, and then more and more as they kind of came to and developed their own styles and realized how helpful they were, they said, you know what, this is something I want to keep doing.
You know, we made church sweet. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. Well, your 12-year-old doesn't have any idea of what that means.
Sure.
But if you have no snacks at home, but you give them money every Sunday morning and Wednesday night to go to the snack machines to pick whatever nasty, junky thing they want.
Yep, we've done it.
You know, to me, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And then they fall in love with God's house.
Yeah.
We made church fun.
I love that. You're like meeting them where they are.
You know, what are you going to do?
Right.
You've got to be part Mary Poppins. I learned a lot from that woman. Mm. A spoonful of sugar does help the medicine go down. Mm-hmm. And watch, I'm sorry. Watch Mary Poppins. You know, she just makes everything fun.
Yeah.
And these kids want to follow her.
Yeah. Wow.
Another thing Jason mentioned is people skills. He said, because we have a multi-generational church, he is able to relate to, you know, the two-year-old in his Sunday school class on Wednesday night and the 50-year-old teacher who's over him and the 30-year-old who's dropping off that 2-year-old.
Wow.
And he loves it.
That is amazingly multidimensional. Wow. That's awesome. But it's true, you know, because when you're in fellowship and you're around these different lives and you're seeing people in different seasons of their life, you know, you all are all gathered around the word serving in these different ways. And you're seeing the perspectives and how you play a role in helping their relationships with God become stronger or be supported. That's amazing. Wow.
All my kids have gone to Camp Life and then gone when they were 19 as counselors.
Okay. Wow.
And Jason said he learned accountability through that process. You know, he went to camp. It was so much fun. And then wait a minute, all of a sudden at 19, he's an assistant. And he said he had to learn to be accountable to the task he was assigned.
Yes.
The leader he was under and the children he was serving.
Wow. I love that word, accountability, you know, because I do think it's important. A lot of families can say, well, you know, we do our own thing at home. You know, we read our Bible, we have devotionals, we do Bible coloring books, you know, we pray together. We don't really have a need for church life. But I love what you just said, accountability. You know, when we read the scriptures and God points us towards the church as we are understanding our identity in him more and more, we need the church body. We need a covering. We need the fellowship with other like-minded believers. We are not the kind of family, I don't know if any family who really can stand on their own and say, well, you all do the church thing and we'll do the God thing behind closed doors in our home. And a lot of people do make that choice, Michelle, because they don't want that accountability. I've heard many people say, I don't want people in my business. But I do think it boils down to the fact that you have to choose who you're going to trust. And you have to choose who you're going to allow to invest in you as well. And it's kind of like alarm bells for me when I see people that reject both of those. You know, you can go round and round in circles. Well, because of this thing that happened to me 10 years ago, we just don't go to church. Or because of this thing that my child learned that was totally wrong 5 years ago, we just don't go to church.
Well, that makes about as much sense as because mom burned the toast one day, I don't eat breakfast.
Right, exactly.
You know, a one-off incident.
Mm-hmm.
Another great thing Jason said was perspective. He said, it's where I go. Church is where I go to hear people I can trust speak into my life.
Wow. That's awesome.
When we started homeschooling, I don't know how many years ago, but we homeschooled for 22 years. But my husband and I had in mind, okay, yeah, we're going to spend 24 hours a day with these kids, but we are not going to attach them to us. The umbilical cord was cut a long time ago, and actually every year I pushed my kids away from me. In first grade, you're doing everything. By 12th grade, I'm doing nothing. And I have 11 years to get to that step.
Wow.
You know, I don't want my little hothouse plants dependent on me for the rest of their lives.
Sure, sure.
Last thing that Jason said was he's learned how to connect directly with God. He said, through church, I found out how to talk with God and how to hear from him.
Wow. That's amazing.
My point is that the church has helped us disciple our children.
Yes.
They've reflected and reinforced our standards. You know, we had family standards and my kids called us Christian dinosaurs.
Oh, wow.
You know, that we were old-fashioned. We wouldn't let them watch R-rated movies. We wouldn't let them have sleepovers. We're so mean. But in church, those standards became normalized. They would complain to their friends and find out, oh, their friends' parents are doing the same thing.
Yeah. Does your mom do this?
Yeah.
You couldn't go either?
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what? I love that because it speaks to the fact that this is God's design for the Christian. We need each other. The local assembly is upheld in God's eyes. He knows that life is full of trials and challenges. He knows that as soon as we leave our home, there are things pulling us in thousands of directions. And no matter how much schooling you've had or what you claim to be the call on your life, you cannot stand for Christ authentically all your days without the support of the body. You cannot do it.
I agree.
Something
completely.
About your walk is going to be a little bit corrupt. Something about it is going to be narrowed to your own vision. And you know, we can do this, Michelle. We can narrow down investing in a church to a mood. How do I feel about this right now in my life? Well, if you're going through a bunch of trials and tribulations and you're going to go off of how you feel, it's going to be easy to isolate yourself. So it's good to have that accountability. People will be looking for you at Bible study. They will be looking for you at service, at the potluck, at this young adults meeting, because they care about what's going on with you. And it's not going to be easy every day. And there are people that are waiting to bless you, waiting to counsel you, and waiting to celebrate with you. I love what you said about fun. I heard a sermon years ago in college where the pastor was saying, it's important to have fun in church. Everybody say fun. And it was such a quiet fun, you know, that you heard from the audience. And he said, listen, somebody's face just cracked right now when they said the word fun.
Cute.
And I think we have to remember, like, fellowshipping in Christ needs to be appealing to us and to our children. And that doesn't mean we compromise, but we need to show our kids you can be serious about something and have fun as you're doing it. You know, that's very important for them to see. Otherwise, other things become a lot more appealing a lot quicker.
I agree. Let's answer the question, how much should you involve your family in church life? Well, I say a lot. Just this year, Dr. Vivek Murthy, the U.S. Surgeon General, has put out a report on loneliness, the effect of loneliness.
Wow.
He found that young people ages 15 to 24 spend 70% less time face-to-face with their friends than previous generations.
Oh, my God.
He said loneliness is as deadly for a young person as if they smoked 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow.
It's more than a bad feeling, he said. He said it's harming individuals and societies. People who don't come out of their home or don't speak to other people and limit their activity have higher risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, and premature death.
Wow.
And he's not talking about church.
I know. I know. Wow.
Wow.
That is incredible.
You know, raising our kids, we didn't have much money. We did not go on vacation very often, although we did go to Florida a couple times. Why? Well, we tithe.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our extra money went into the church connection plate, collection plate. Well, mm-hmm. So what? We made convention in June our big event of the summer. Mm. We talked it up. Look at what we're doing. Wow. We saved money. Yes, we gave our kids all the money for all the junk food they wanted. They went on all the trips that happened. And when we picked them up after a session, we didn't say, oh, did you have a good time?
Mm.
We said, wow, you just had the best time of your life.
Amen.
We helped our children not listen to themselves, but talk to themselves.
Mm.
We also avoided any activity for our kids that conflicted with church service times.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
They were not playing baseball on Sunday morning. I don't care
right.
if all their other neighborhood friends were.
Mm-hmm.
We limited time with non-Greater Grace friends. Oh, my gosh, you're saying, yes, she's in a cult. Yep.
No.
But, you know, we decided that if God had given us gifts, hospitality and money, mm-hmm. they should benefit the church.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to give you a word of caution. Don't force your kids.
Right.
I've already explained.
Sure.
We went out of our way to make it fun right. and exciting. And
right.
this is what we're doing. Church was never optional.
Right.
But some activities were.
Mm, okay.
We never forced our kids to go to Bible college, but all four of them did.
Mm, mm-hmm.
All four of them did 4 years.
Wow.
We did not force them.
Mm.
All right. But we helped make it easy for them. We were always open to complaints,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, we did not shut the door on that. And let me tell you, don't let your kids go with anybody just because they're from the church.
Mm.
Once we got a phone call and someone said they were a pastor from Dr. Stevens' office and they wanted to invest in one of our boys and come pick them up and spend time with them.
Hmm.
I didn't even know who this was.
No, who are you again?
And I was like, no.
Right.
You hear me? No. I said, you're invited to come over to our house for lunch.
Yes.
Or Sunday dinner. You
yes.
can get to know our child. You see, our child has a leadership gift. Good.
Mm-hmm.
You come and get together with our child in the context of our family.
Yes.
They never called back.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, we just don't do that.
Well, you know what? It's good to be a gatekeeper. You know, I mean, yeah. just because you have the right language and these rich spiritual vernacular, that doesn't mean that I'm automatically going to trust you. And we cannot follow, Michelle, everything going on in every corner of the church. We do need to go to God, consult him for wisdom, consult him for discernment. And our kids need to see that. They need to see that as soon as the words Christ and church are thrown out, we don't just automatically trust and push them off to the next person. We are still protectors. That is part of our decision to protect our walk with God. We look at everything we're involved in. And I love what you said about the sports. That's actually mentioned here in this book. This is an awesome book. One of the first books I ever read on parenting, called Gospel-Powered Parenting, How the Gospel Shapes and Transforms Parenting by Pastor William P. Farley. And one of the things he said was that in their family, they created a standard very early. If you're going to be involved in anything, there are going to be appropriate barriers, because what are we trying to protect? Our life in Christ. That's what's going to be there at the very end, beyond the championship game, beyond whatever's going on with your friends right now. And we're not saying don't participate. We're just saying this is a standard that our family abides by. If that means that the team will play in a weaker way because you're not on it, let the coach figure that out. When you stand firm and you don't compromise in what you believe, you turn heads and you actually attract people more. Because when you're so movable, it seems like, well, I could convince this guy of anything. I can call this mom, say the right words, and she's going to hug me and say, oh, thank you so much that your eye is on my child. This must be a special anointing. Not so much.
No.
If God has not spoken it to me and I don't have a conviction, or I do have a conviction about my child not participating, that is my authority that I am exercising as the called parent in their life.
Very good. Well, how can we avoid our children having a negative experience in church? Mm. Well, I'll start out by saying don't sacrifice your family for your ministry, mm-hmm. and don't sacrifice your ministry for your family.
Wow.
There's got to be a balance.
Yes.
I need a ministry, even if it's just I come to Bible college every semester. I don't cook on that night. Mm. My family has to figure it out. Of course, there's food in the fridge, for goodness sakes. But my kids got the idea very early that mom and dad need time alone with God mm-hmm. without them. Mm-hmm. All right? Because without a vision, we perish.
Yes.
But my family comes before church in order of priorities. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean they will come first every single hour of every day. Mm-hmm. There are times when the balance swings the other way.
Yes.
There are times that we've skipped church to be with family. Oh, mm-hmm. the horror of it all. I'm confessing this online.
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, you have to make that call dependent yeah. on what's going on in your family. And, you know, you need to evaluate so much about a situation before you kind of cower under what will people say? What will people think? Is this right or wrong? You can really narrow down the character of God to what your fears are. And if God wants to have a ministry to you, ministry is concerned about how you are doing. And if we are checkmarking, we're involved in this, we're involved in that. I mean, sometimes we want to have this spiritual resume where people look at us and say, wow, how are they doing all of that? And maybe that comes from our own insecurities,
it could.
You know, but if I have lost my ministry to my family, what kind of ministry do I have to you?
Oh, my gosh.
In all honesty.
Yeah.
And we hear stories, horror stories about this
yes.
from preachers' kids and, you know, oh, my dad loved the church more than me. You know, my dad would be at those soccer games when the church was playing, but he never came to mine. And sometimes mm-hmm. we need help with this. We need help with this balance because we're trying to do what's right, but we can become right in our own eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
A husband and wife have to be on the same page in the same book.
Yes.
About these things. Now, I cannot protect my children from negative experiences. That is not my role as a mother.
No.
And that is not even what God does. Mm-hmm. Would you look through the scripture and find me where he is protecting us from, you know, every run in our pantyhose and every glass of spilled milk? Mm. No, sometimes a negative experience is very helpful
yes.
for your child. We don't engineer them. I don't
sure.
want them to happen. I pray against them.
Right.
But people have said wildly inappropriate things to my kids. Mm-hmm. And my kids have come to me and my eyes have gotten very large.
Mine too.
And we've talked about it and said, you know, okay, all right, that was wrong. That was a mistake. Maybe they'll apologize, but I've talked to them. I've been on my kids' side. They know I had their back. There were times I had to tell my kids, all right, you are going to Pastor Shibeli about this.
Hmm.
All right, you are going to Pastor and I, different people who were in the Bible college or on outreach. Yeah, no, you go right to authority. This is not right. This is not appropriate. This is wrong. And mm-hmm. I've had their back.
Wow.
And the church has backed them up.
Wow.
But a negative experience can do a lot for someone's character.
Yeah. But I like what you're saying about the aftermath. If you can't protect, even though sometimes I know you want to, I mean, I know for me, sometimes I can see that crash and burn about to happen. And maybe I'm trying to sweetly warn. And then after a while, I had to just introduce tough love to my son. You know, and I said, do you like tough love? And he said, no, I really don't. And I said, yeah, but you remembered it, right? You remembered what happened from it, right? So sometimes mommy has to let that happen. But that's the thing about it, Michelle, like we can really just become so focused on I'm going to put my child in this bubble and it really does them a disservice. Now, I like this balance you have. You know, I am going to make sure that what I am putting them in, I know what the influences are there. I trust the people there. I'm going to make sure this has regularity in my child's life. We are going to be open to accountability. I'm even going to be accountable to them if we're going to miss it. You know, I love this balance you have where you say, I'm going to choose the environments that my child is within, but at the same time, I have to relinquish control once they are in those environments.
And when
it's very difficult sometimes, though.
Thank you. I'm sorry for interrupting. I agree. When something does happen to your child, this is a great opportunity for you to make sure that a root of bitterness doesn't grow in their life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or that they don't have a mocking spirit against mm-hmm. that person. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I just say, have you ever said the wrong thing? Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
They remember that.
I think that's like the core of sibling rivalry right now in my house. Like, I can't believe she did that. Didn't you just do that yesterday? Yeah. Okay. Well, then I think you should be merciful instead of pointing a finger. But this is what I'm saying. They need the understanding that the application of what they're learning about God, it's authentic in yes. real life relationships. And that's going to be messy sometimes. Yes. And sometimes it's going to be shocking. And then other times you can say, just like Jason did, I have my friends in the church, my pastor in the church that I can go to if this concerns me. And they care about me if I'm concerned or confused about something. And you know, Michelle, I'd love to hear your perspective on this as well, because so much when we're a parent, and I'm kind of in this season right now myself, there is so much emphasis when your kids are young on making sure that they have what they need. But you also have to make sure that your eyes do not leave the marital needs that you have, because yes. so much of taking care of other people steals your attention. Yes. And then there's only 8,000 details that go with each person. So then while you're trying to make sure that everyone is okay, a week can go by, 2 weeks can go by, and maybe you all are sitting next to each other in church. But when was the last time you actually had an uninterrupted conversation, you know? Yep. And what can that surmount to if you don't do something about it? I think everyone experiences it after a certain point. But just like you said, with the aftermath of when we're exposed to something or we see a problem, what are we doing about this? And how are we involving God in this problem?
Very good. I liken it to every woman has a house and it's got four walls to it. We've got our kids in one place. Our family, sometimes our siblings or our parents, you know, we have a relationship with them. We have our job and maybe we have a ministry. Oh, and where's your husband? You're asking. Well, he's the roof over this whole thing. And if you got a new roof, you would never allow them to skip using nails. No matter if they said to you, we're the best roofers ever, and we're just going to lay everything on your roof. We don't think there are going to be any storms or any rain is not coming for the next 20 years. Your roof will be fine. We're just going to skip using nails. We'll just lay it all out and hope for the best. You would never allow that on your house.
Never.
Well, you can't allow that in your marriage. And I'm sorry, sex is the biggest glue.
Michelle,
between you and your husband, us women, we want the date. We want to be taken out to dinner, maybe flowers, maybe
conversation.
Candy. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Flattery.
Unending ad nauseum conversation. But you know what guys need.
Yeah. But you know what? I think that this is important too, because on the other side of this, Michelle, some of us do not realize the importance of continual investment in our marriages, even through the very difficult seasons. And I love how Pastor William Farley put it. He said, you have to understand that your marriage it preaches a message, and our marriage can preach an unattractive gospel to our children. And he goes on to remind us that our marriages preach. They preach a message that either attracts or repels them. When mom and dad preach one thing but do the opposite and they don't repent to their children, it makes the world attractive and the gospel irrelevant.
Amazing.
And that's so true, because we don't even realize sometimes that we're in that trap, you know. But again, what do we do about this with God? It is not up to us to fix all these problems. Now that we see that they're there, let's apply God authentically, because that's what they're going to need to do when they become adults, and they need to apply God authentically. It's not that they should already know. And like you said, they can't just call you up throughout their adult years and say, Mom, what should I do? We are teaching them to think with God on their own.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we're just about at the end. I just want to talk about, what do you do when your beautiful modern model Christian family falls apart? After all the investment, prayers, encouragement lavished on your child by you and the adults at church, what if there are no results? What if your child is indifferent to God, turns against doctrine, takes drugs or tries alcohol, moves out of your home to go live with their boyfriend or girlfriend, suddenly announces at Thanksgiving that they're gay, gets pregnant without being married, gets divorced without a biblical reason, or you find out they had an abortion?
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, but I know we can wait and pray. Ask God how you show love. I do not recommend turning your back on your child. They can do something that's outrageous.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that just sounds terrible. We've got Samson. He's got this incredible strength, incredible parents.
Yeah.
Who from before his birth prayed for him, raised him, did everything right.
Wow.
And then he's an idiot. Is God done with him? Does God wash his hands of him? No, he does not. Yes, he messes up big time.
Yeah.
Yes, he gets blinded. Yep, he loses all that gorgeous head of hair.
Mm.
But you know what? It grows back.
Yeah.
In prison.
Yeah.
Do I want my child to go to prison? No. Do I want my child to suffer for their sins? No.
No.
But the hair grows back. God's favor. They learn to appreciate God's favor.
Right.
And what did Samson, the idiot, I'm sorry, do at the end? He killed more Philistines at the end of his life than all through his ministry.
Wow.
You don't know. You could be gone, buried up in heaven on the other side, and then see your child win a tremendous victory.
Wow.
Don't shut the porch light off. I don't know how you show love, but let's ask God. Be still. Know God is God.
Wow.
John Mark was an incredible screw up. The cause of Paul and Barnabas splitting up. Can you imagine your child causes a church split?
Wow.
All right. Well, later he's ministered to by Peter, another screw up. I'm sorry to
tell
you that. And he's restored back to Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And he writes the first gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, mic drop.
I know.
How's that for restoration?
I know.
Look at your kids with love.
Yes.
Love your kids more than you love other people's opinion of your kids.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And when they mess up but want to come home, welcome them back like the prodigal's father did.
Yes, amen. And let's not forget, Michelle, we are our children's first introduction to Christ's love. We have to remember that we are representing a God to them that is approachable and loving, and that even though we have standards, even though we have desires for them, we really are okay with who they are. That's what our children need. They need our arms to remain a safe place. I want to close with this quote that I read about grace from this gospel-powered parenting book. It says, "Grace is fundamental to God's family. It's the air his children breathe, and it's crucial to parenting." Let's all remember that, just as you said, Michelle. Success in God is whether or not we are true reflections of Christ through and through, the times that make us cry, the times that leave us broken, the times where we're greatly uncertain. We can still hold hands together and go to our Father on our knees, no matter what.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, thank you so much, everybody, for listening today. We've had a wonderful time, and we hope that you are encouraged in the Lord about your family. Make sure that you check us out on so many different avenues. You can check us out on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to continue joining us this week as we continue church and family life. Love you all.